Good to be here tonight. Be back in the house of the Lord. Feel the wonderful presence of God. Practically always, I'm reminded of what David said when I come to the sacred dead. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now then, I'd like for you to turn with me tonight over to the book of Hebrews, and I want to talk just a little bit from God's Word. And I just wonder tonight if I can get Dale, one of them, to step out there and get a little water. Last Sunday night I was extremely dry, real thirsty, and tonight I feel the same way. I'm glad of one thing. I'm glad that I know that I'm going to heaven. The Bible said that we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And I'm glad, Brother J.T., that I know that I'm going to heaven because those wandering spirits are out yonder in the regions of the damned, and there's no water out there. And I love water. So I'm glad tonight that I don't have to go to those dry places. Wandering through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Now then, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. I want to talk to you a little bit from the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews tonight. The thought that I've got in mind tonight is the doctrine of baptisms. I'd like to dwell along there and maybe, I don't know, I might drop in a little extra tonight on some things, if the Lord will give it to me. But let's start tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, and see what the Lord will give us tonight. See if we can get into the mind of Christ. Always remember this, that unless we get into the mind of Christ, if there is nothing that we can get from God, because the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God, but He said, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You know, I've heard a lot of ministers trying to make excuse for the people, and they say, well, God understands that we're still in the flesh. But I want you to know tonight, if you're born of the Spirit, you are not in the flesh. Paul said you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so it is tonight, if you're in the Spirit, then you're not in the flesh. And if you're born to the Spirit, that which is born to the Spirit is Spirit. And Jesus said that we're born of the Spirit. So it is tonight, we're not in the flesh, and the carnal mind is enmity with God. That is, they that are in the carnal mind are in the flesh. They cannot please God because the carnal mind only thinks about the carnal side of life. It thinks about houses. It thinks about automobiles. It thinks about clothing, bank accounts, and all of those kind of things, because that's what it's given for. It was placed in the human body for that purpose, and that's all that it will ever bring to your mind. It's just, or to your spirit, is those things that are of the world. But the Bible teaches that you and I are to let our conversation be holy, and let our conversation be in heaven, and let our minds be continually stayed upon Christ Jesus, and He'll keep us in perfect peace. So it is tonight, we want to read from the book of Hebrews, the sixth chapter. If you've got your Bible, turn over there with me, and we'll see if the Lord will give us something. Beginning here at the first verse, the sixth chapter of Hebrews, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God of the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now notice this here, right here in the first verse. I might say some things right along here that you might not agree with, but like Brother J.T. said, because I said it doesn't make it right and make you wrong, but the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes, and so as far as I'm concerned tonight, I'm right and you're wrong. And until you prove me otherwise, then I'll feel like I'm right and you're wrong, and as far as you're concerned, you feel like you're right and you're wrong, and so it is tonight, we go through life with that conviction, because unless we have a conviction, then we're no good to God, we're no good to humanity, and we're no good to ourselves. I've always made the statement that I'd rather see a man that has a conviction and will stand on his conviction than a man that doesn't have a conviction. Because if a man has a conviction, even if that man is wrong, if you show that man the right thing, then he will turn and he will have a conviction concerning the right thing. But if he doesn't have any conviction, and if he doesn't try to defend that which he believes is right, then if you gave him the right thing, he'd be wishy-washy, and he wouldn't stand for it. He wouldn't stand for the right thing more than he would stand for the wrong thing, because he wouldn't have any conviction concerning it. But tonight I've got a conviction. My conviction is, Paul said, we are set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my conviction tonight is that every word of God is right. Every word of God is from God Himself and is God Himself, and the Holy Spirit has expressed Himself unto us in a literal form that He might leave an impression upon the mind of the human being, that they might, through that impression, get a foresight of what God is spiritually, the invisible God, who no man has seen at any time, and no man can see, but we must comprehend God and see Him through the eyes of our understanding, inasmuch as the Bible says, the pure in heart shall see God, but no man can see God and live. And so it is, if we see God, then the first thing we must do is to die with Christ through the crucifixion, be buried with Him in baptism, and since we are dead to the things of this world, we become pure in heart, and being dead, then through the eyes of our understanding, we can see the God of heaven who is Spirit. We can comprehend God. Now then, I believe I made this statement not so long ago, and I want to make it again tonight. I believe the only way that you can see anything that pertains to God is through the eyes of your understanding. We are people that see through the eyes of our understanding. Now, I was riding down the road one day, and I told the children, I said, you do not see with your natural eyes. I said, the way that you see is through the eyes of your understanding. And of course, they readily disputed with me and said, Daddy, I see what I see. I said, no, they say there's about 22 conducted nerves from the eyes of the brain. I said, but you don't see anything through these eyes. I said, you see it through your understanding, and the only thing that these eyes do is focus an image. I said, they pick up an image, and that's all they do. And so it was as they disputed, we rode on down the road, and I asked them a question here and there. I said, well, what about this? And they began to try to tell me, you know, and so it was that as they began to see different things, maybe a cow or a post or a pasture or something, they described it to me and they told me what it was. And after a bit, we got on down the road. I said, well, I want to ask you one more question. I said, now tell me this. I said, what is that right here on this telephone pole? And it was a great big transformer. And at that time, they were pretty small and they didn't know. And so they looked at it and I said, now you tell me what it is. And they attempted to tell me what it was, but they couldn't explain it. And I said, well, what is it? I said, don't you see it? Of course we see it. I said, well, what is it? I don't know. I said, well, you just don't see it. I said, that's what it is. I said, everything that I pointed out to you through your childhood, you've been taught to your understanding what that thing is, and you see it through your understanding as these nerves processes the image, and you're able to tell me what it is. I said, but now I've pointed out something that you have never been taught anything concerning it. Your understanding's never been enlightened to it. And as Paul said, the eyes of your understanding haven't seen it or been enlightened to it, and therefore you do not see
see it. The only thing is your eyes have focused an image that you don't even understand. And so it was their grief that we see through the eyes of our understanding. And so then to be able to see God, we must comprehend God, for God is the invisible God whom no man has seen nor can see, and Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light, being the God of immortality, and we see God as being pure in heart as the eyes of our understanding is enlightened in Almighty God. So it is tonight, as I said, reading here from the book of Hebrews, 6th chapter, I might say some things that you don't quite understand or agree with, but I want to say them anyway. Just the way that I see them tonight in the mind of the Lord. He tells us in the first verse, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ. Now, notice especially, he says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ. The first thing he said to do was to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He tells you not to leave the principles. Get away from the principles. Don't stay with the principles all the time. But he says, leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And he says, go on unto perfection, or go on to be perfect in God. That's what he's telling us. Leave the principles and let's go on to be perfect in God, to come into the fullness of the stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, that we might have the mind of Christ perfected in this human body. Notice what he says here now. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Paul tells us here, he says that repentance is part of the foundation. When you just repent over and over and over, Paul said you're just building the same foundation, laying the same foundation to your building, and you're never getting anywhere. It's just like a carpenter that went out to build a house, and all he ever done was work on the foundation. He doesn't ever build the house up. He doesn't ever build the walls up. Doesn't ever put a top on it. He just works on the foundation. And Paul says that repentance was a part of the foundation. That is to say, all we ever do is sin a little and have to repent. Have a temper tantrum and then we have to repent. Go into some worldly thing and then we have to repent. He said, all you're doing is just laying the foundation over and over and over. And he says, you'll never get perfect in God. You'll never be used in the spiritual gifts. You'll never have power with God. You'll never have understanding with God because you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. But he said, leave the foundations of repentance. Get to the place to where you don't have to repent every day of the week and over every little thing that comes along. Get to where you have a perfect heart with God and walk perfect before God and believe God and live in God and walk with God and the fruits of the Spirit showing forth within your life, doing the things that God is pleased with. Get to the place to where, if you do make a mistake, you can joyfully look up and say, oh God, you understand. I love you, Lord. I didn't mean to do it, but I believe the blood of Christ covers it and takes away all of my sins, and I believe that I'm pure and clean through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Go on from the foundation of repentance, Paul says. Don't turn again to lay the foundation of repentance from dead works. He said, don't stay in the place to where it's a continuation of dead works and the dead faith. You can't do anything with dead faith. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. And so it is, you can have dead works. You can have works for God, but because you don't live a righteous life, you don't have any faith to believe that you're going to be rewarded for it. And you can have dead faith. You can have faith toward God, but it's dead without any works with it. It's dead. Therefore, you'll never receive anything from God that way. But I don't see it any other way. This is the way I see it. That's the way I have to preach it. Let us leave the foundation of repentance. Let us leave dead works. Let us leave dead faith. And let us go on to the doctrine of baptism, they said. Let us go on to the laying on of hands. Let us go on to the resurrection of the dead. And let us go on to the place of eternal judgment. For this will we do, if God permit. He said, let us get to the place to where we can resurrect the dead. Let us get to where we can speak like Peter and James and John and Elijah. When Elijah sat on the mountain, and the casting in his fit, and he came up, and they said, the king wants you, Elijah. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from out of heaven and consume this casting and his 50. Paul said, let's go on to that power. Over there where Paul spoke to the man, said, thou shalt be blind for a season. Where Peter spoke to Dorcas and raised her up from the dead. Let's contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Let's go on to these great doctrines and great teachings. Get away from the doctrines. The principles of the doctrines. Get away from the principles of the beginning of the doctrines. And let's get away from repentance, dead works, and dead faith. And let's go on to the laying on of hands. Let's go on to the resurrection of the dead. Let's go on to the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and had tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and had tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to remember them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Now then, if we are to go on the doctrine of baptisms, what is Christ speaking of? Through the mouth of Paul, what is he trying to tell us? What is there about baptisms anyway? I've heard baptisms talked about for many years. I've heard people speak about baptism. All I ever thought was you just repent and be baptized. That's all it was to it. One day God spoke to me. I said, God, what about this doctrine of baptisms? I said, what is there to baptism? I hear of a Jaggers out in California. I've been to his place out there where he speaks about being baptized into eternal life. I've never heard him preach, but that's what they tell me he preaches. And I visited the place out there where he was at. And then I hear about him baptizing in Jesus' name and baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and baptizing in the Holy Ghost, and baptizing with fire. And so it is a doctrine of baptism. It seems like the world today is filled with the doctrines of baptisms, and very few of them even understand what they're doing. So it is, I begin to talk with God. God began to speak to me like this. We know of three major baptisms that's in the world today. One of those baptisms is baptism of water, that we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of those baptisms is of the fire that burns the chaff out of our lives. For the Bible said he shall baptize us with the Holy Ghost, and he shall baptize us with fire. Then we know of another baptism, which of course is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are baptized in water, we are baptized with the fire, and we're baptized it will the power of the Holy Ghost. Now then, let's see just how these things fit the world tonight. If you and I have a baptism as Jesus said to be baptized with, then the world has a baptism to be baptized with, and the Jew has a baptism to be baptized with, or Paul would never have spoke of the doctrines of baptism. And so it is here, as we look way back in the garden, as everything there in its original state began to get in a perverted manner, and we began to analyze things from the garden, and seeing these three baptisms as they represent presented there in the garden. I spoke to you the other night of the three realms of blood, water, and spirit. I spoke of three realms in the world, of a water world, of a world of vegetation, which was a water world, and of a world of blood, which was a physical world, and a world of spirit, which was an angelic world. And these three worlds have a baptism to be baptized with. And so it is that we consider there from the garden, we consider the Jew, and we find out that the Jew not only fell from the spiritual level of God down to the beast level, down to the blood level, but he fell right on down to the level of the water world. And I want you to know tonight that whether you can understand it or not, this world belongs to the Jew. Other people say, I don't understand that, Brother Pike, but this world belongs to the Jew. The world of vegetation belongs to the Jew. It was given to the Jew, and it's the Jews tonight. And when we come up in that new world over yonder, it's going to belong to the Jew. The earth belongs to the Jew. That's why it's considered the outer courts. That's why it's considered the body. When you think about the body, the soul, and the spirit, and you consider God's creation, he always comes in the place of the water world. He's the owner of the water world. He's the owner of this earth. It it was given to him. And so it is because it was given to him by God, then it belongs to him tonight. Now then we consider another world. We look at the second realm coming up from the water world, and we see the blood realm. We see a realm of blood. We see a physical world, a world of humanity where there is an ideology, where there is knowledge. In other words, when we come to the realm of the beast, which is the blood realm, it's just knowledge, always knowledge. They live in a realm of knowledge, and they don't have too many physical ailments, but what the physicians can take care of. Have you ever noticed that in this particular realm, in the blood realm? Have you ever noticed that all those people that fit into that blood realm, that they don't have too much trouble with cancer, TB, paralysis, and those things, but the doctor can't take care of it. That's always a medical aid. That's always something that they can do. They find peace in that world of knowledge. They find happiness in that world of knowledge. David one time considered them. He said, my feet almost slipped. He said, when I looked and saw the wicked spreading themselves like a green bay tree. He said, their children dance and they have plenty. He said, they have no bonds in their death. He said, everything goes well with them. He said, but we're killed all the day long. We're the ones that's killed all the day long. We're the ones that have trouble all the time. We're the ones that's continually tried and continually tested. He said, I said, God, I cleansed my heart in vain. I put away my sins in vain. What has it profited me? Because I serve God when I see the wicked all around me begin to prosper. He said, my feet almost slipped. And so I went to the house of God, and God made me to know their end. He said, and I saw their end, and I realized how foolish that I had been. Realizing tonight that this world is a world of happiness. It's a world of peace. It's a world of joy only to the creature that is made for that world. Did you know you can find peace in the world that you belong to? Did you know that? The Bible said if in this life you and I have hope only, we are of all men the most miserable. Now why did he say that? Because we are not in our world. We are not in our world. Jesus said you're not of this world. Even as I'm not of this world. But I've chosen you out of this world. So then, if we just have hope in this world only and have no hope beyond the grave, then we're more miserable than anybody else. But I want you to know tonight that we are not in our world. But these people that are in the blood realm, friend, they're in their world. And they're having a good time at the skating rinks. They're having a good time laying a bank account. They're having a good time in their beautiful home and with their fine clothes. They're having a good time with their bathing parties and their skating parties and all the things that the world do. Why? Because it's the beast realm. It's the realm that they live in. It's the world that they live in. Now, I'll tell you one thing, Christian. You can't back up. You can't get out there with them and have a good time. You get out there like Lot did down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the first thing you'll realize is that you're a vexed soul that you can't hardly live. You'll find out that that thing is so vexating that you'll be glad to give up everything that you've got and take up the cross and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. But those people are in their world. That's their world. They have a baptism to be baptized with. And so it is the Jew is in the water world. He owns the world of vegetation. He owns this earth. He is a type of the body, while you and I are a type of the spirit. And so it is the physical man, which is those that are sinners, he comes into the realm of the soul. I want you to see this tonight. I want to explain it just as thoroughly as I know how to do it. This physical world. There's a natural world, a physical world, and a spiritual world. And these people come into the physical world. It's a world of knowledge. Remember in the garden, the sin that man committed was he partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this realm is the beast realm. It's the blood realm. And it's a world of knowledge. A world of where they can look at television and see the preacher preach the gospel. They can look at television and see the gay nanny shows. And they can drink the pure water that God's given them. And they can reach over with the other hand and get a bottle of whiskey and turn it up. It's a world of knowledge of good and evil. They can just do any way they want to. They'll get along all right. But now you and I can't do that, can we? You and I can't do that. The just shall live by faith. They are in a world of blood. And they have a baptism to be baptized with. But now look at you and I. You and I do not come into the water realm into the heavenly realm. For God, through foreknowledge, looking down through the telescope of time, He preserved you and I as sons of God and kept us from falling down to the beast realm. As far as our spiritual man, He predestinated, He justified, and He glorified. And tonight we have a baptism to be baptized with. We do not own this world. The Jews own this world. And the only one that can ever make it prosper is the Jews. We do not own the physical world. The only man that will ever be happy in that blood realm out there is those that belong to it. But we belong to the heavenly world. We are a heavenly creature. And heaven belongs to us. He told them in the Old Testament, He said, Jacob, thou shalt pass through the land of Esau. And He said, don't you touch anything that belongs to Esau. He said, you pass through the land of Esau. Pay your way as you go. Because there's a land called Canaan that's just over the way for you and I. I don't know why it is tonight, but it looks like the people that pass through this world, God has told them, He said, leave the things of Esau alone. But they grab a house here, and they grab a car here, and they grab a super pal here, and they just burn everything that's in this world. They just can't keep their hands off of the worldly things of Esau, and yes, they go to heavenly substance. But I want you to know you can't go two ways at one time. A divided kingdom can't stand. You've got to get in one place or another. You've got to lay all you've got on the altars of God and dedicate everything you've got to the altars of God and have all things common with the people of God, or you might as well withdraw and go down right into the world where you can have peace and happiness. Enjoy sin for a season rather than suffer the affliction with the righteous. They have a baptism. We have a baptism. The Jews have a baptism. Now let's look a little closer. The Lord Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary. We see that there is three things that was wrought within His body. There, as the Bible said, the temple was rent in twain. And we spoke of it the other night as the body being taken away from the spirit, which was a type of the rending of the true temple. For He said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible said they understood not that He spoke of His body. And so it was the temple was rent in twain or in two. And as the spirit went one way, the body went another. But if you look just a little closer, we can find here that there was three transactions that took place as the body went into the earth. There was a soul that went down into hell, and there was a spirit that went into paradise. The Bible said the Spirit of Christ was in the heart of the earth, preaching to the souls in prison, which was in the paradise of God, which was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the soul of Jesus Christ went down into the bellies of hell, for the Bible said He suffered not His Holy One to see corruption, nor His soul to remain in hell. His soul went down to the chambers of hell, that you and I might not have to go there. That our soul might not have to go there, but that our soul could escape the regions of the damned. And so it was the body raised within the earth, and the spirit went into the heart of the earth, into paradise, and the soul went into the chambers of hell, that you and I might escape the regions of the damned. So it was, we see three things that happened there. And as the Lord began to come forth from the bellies of hell, the Bible teaches the spirit connected with the soul, and the soul went into the body, and all three of those powers came forth in the power of the resurrection to stand before God, testifying what's going to happen to the Jew and showing what's going to happen to you and what's going to happen to the people that's out yonder in the world. As I said, we have a baptism to be baptized with. There's three witnesses that we know of. In the days of Noah, there came a one witness, and there were three worlds. The Bible speaks of God's creation of the worlds, which is plural, and there were three worlds that we can see right off as we began to analyze the scriptures here. Back there in the days of Noah, there was a world. Peter speaks of the old world that perished with water. There was a world back there. And so it was, it received a baptism of water by flood, and it was washed away in the old world. And then there came forth another world, which world that we're in today, and that world is to be covered with the fire of Almighty God to burn away the chaff. And then there comes another world, which is the new earth, that will be baptized with the Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall fill all the earth, the heavens, the sea, and the sky in that day. There will be a filling of God's Spirit everywhere throughout the vast eternity. And the new earth shall be utterly covered with the Spirit Spirit and the knowledge of Almighty God. So then the world right there perish with water, and this world today must perish with fire, for they have a baptism to be baptized with. And so it is when we began to consider the Jew. We see the Jew in the water world. We see that when John came, he was preaching repentance, that he was teaching cleansing by water. And then when Peter came and the Jews assembled themselves together on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said the gospel to the Jews was committed unto Peter, and Paul said the gospel of the Gentiles was committed unto me. And we see Peter teaching water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's water again. It's water when Peter preached it. When the Lord Jesus commanded him to go into the world and baptize, it was water. And then over there, and in the place where John came, he was preaching water and repentance. And we look back in the Old Testament, and we see the washing of pots and pans. We see the ordinances that the elders kept and passed it on down. And even in the days of Jesus, he had conflict with the tradition of the elders of the washing of pots and pans, because they believed in the cleansing of the body. How many of you realize tonight, when you stop and consider Revelation, that it takes water to be able to cleanse this body? It takes water for the washing of the body. And since they are the body, then they felt that when they was washed by the water, then everything was pure. Everything was clean, because they are the body. They keep the law, and the law was made for the body. And so it is. We see that they feel clean when they're baptized in water. Now notice this. These three great baptisms must come together before we can ever be perfect. This was the thing that God spoke to me about concerning the doctrine of baptism. There are three separate kinds of people in this world. There are three worlds, natural, physical, and the spiritual, and all of them are represented by either the Jew or the Gentile, which we call the Catholic, or the Protestants, which we refer to as the Christians. All of these great worlds are represented by one baptism or another. Now, as the Jew pursues water, as he prays for water, in his land over there in Jerusalem, it's barren and desolate. The only thing he can hope for is an outpouring of the waters of God from heaven. In Elijah's time, it was all based on the water. He prayed for God to withhold water. And then when the water came down, there was a refreshing and there was a revival. And so it is today, when they get the water in the homeland, then it typifies that we are getting the spiritual rain in our homeland. Just as back yonder about 48, when the Jews went into their homeland, and then God brought the spiritual Jew into his homeland. By the same year, he raised up the great prophet William Branham to lead by the pillar fire the spiritual Jew into the spiritual outpouring of the great rain from heaven. Destiny of the natural Jew into the natural land, and that natural barren desert began to produce great fruit. I talked to a Jew that came from over there, and he said that the size of those fruits was outstanding. He said it was unbelievable. The fruits that the ground are producing, that the size of them is unbelievable. And he began to tell me about them. And so it is in the spiritual realm of the spiritual Jew today, we are producing the fruits of the Spirit. Great signs and miracles and wonders have swept the world as we've come into our spiritual homeland. Now their world is the water world. But I want you to get this tonight. Our world, looking at the Spirit, our world, it's not a water world, but we teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They teach baptism in water, and they feel pure. But we teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that all are baptized into one body by one Spirit. And the theme of our message today, wherever you see it or hear it, it's always baptism by the Spirit. Faith in God, receive the Spirit of the Lord within your heart, and you can be made whole. Why? Because we have a baptism to be baptized with. That baptism is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So then, being of a heavenly world, we have a heavenly baptism. But remember this, friend. We get the baptism of the Spirit in our spirit, and we're cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. They get the water in the name of Jesus Christ, and according to what the elders have handed down to them. And they are cleansed according to the law in the body. But there is still another realm, which is the physical realm, which always comes out in the realm of the soul. Can you get this? There is a water level, there is a spiritual level, and there is a level of blood, which is the soul level. Always within the soul level, or the soul realm, or the category of the soul, is where you'll find the beast. That's where the beast lurks.
He works in the bloodstream. I mentioned to you the other night how that Satan works in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, and those people are the body of the serpent because it's a crooked and a perverse generation. John said they were a generation of vipers, and called the red dragon because that spirit got into the bloodstream back there, and he works through the bloodstream today in the midst of that crooked and perverse generation. And so it is, we are of the heavenly world with a heavenly baptism in our spirit. They are baptized with water. I want you to know that whereas we have pursued Spirit and we live by the Spirit and we desire the Spirit in everything we do and realize that without the Spirit we can do nothing, this realm that is called the beast realm seeks after fire. How many of you know that they seek the power of fire? There is a death realm, and the blood represents fire. When he spoke of the baptism of fire, he was speaking of the covering of the blood. That's what it is. Blood represents fire. Let's look at it just a few minutes here. Blood represents fire. When they crossed the Red Sea, it was a type of it. And when Jesus hung on the cross, and the blood run down his vesture. The Bible said he'd have a vesture dipped in blood, speaking of the death of the martyrs, not being the body of Christ. And as he showed it hanging there in the vision on the cross, it showed the beast's body. Now I want you to get this real clear in your mind tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to type out the body of the beast. He came to type out the sinful body, and he that knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. And he hanged there on the cross, and the blood run down his vesture to show that one day the beast is going to be baptized with fire. Have you ever noticed how the Catholics are always emphasizing the cross? Have you ever noticed that the message of the Protestant church is always the blood? You take a Trinity church, and all they ever talk about is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And that's a good thing to talk about, as long as you're counted worthy of the blood. But all they ever preach about is the blood, because we are all under the blood. Everybody's under the blood. The sinner's under the blood. You're under the blood. All of us is under the blood, as far as the grace of God, as he looks down and has mercy on us in this day. Under the blood. And that's all they talk about is the blood. And the Catholic Church is always concerned about the blood. And they're always lifting up the cross. Why? Because as Jesus hung there, he was typing out the body of the beast, and the blood run down his vesture, and all the cruel treatment that he received showed what God one day would do to the beast, and the body of the beast that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and caused him to have to hang there, being made sin and being typing it out, that you and I might know what's going to happen to the beast. That's why they always hold up the cross. They've got a baptism to be baptized with, and they're holding up the cross because they are going to have a cross experience. But if you'll notice, they're always preaching about the blood. Why? It's the blood realm. It's the fire realm. They're always after firepower. Have you ever noticed that? They live by firepower. Have you ever noticed it's electricity? If they drive their car, they've got to have electricity. Got to where they cook their meals, they've got to have electricity. If it's heat to the natural realm of the natural man, to the physical world, it's always firepower. They're messing with the elements now, and they've learned that there's electrons, and that they can create atom bombs and rockets. Always the firepower. Why? Because, as I said, they have a baptism to be baptized with. And whereas we've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, and whereas the Jews have been baptized with water, they're going to be baptized with fire, and God's going to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire one of these days, and the world shall utterly go up in flames, for God will rain fire and brimstone down upon this world and all of them that are in the realm of the beast, because they have a baptism to be baptized with. And that baptism is the baptism of fire. But notice this, that all three of these great baptisms must come together before the end of time can come. Now the Jew will go, as you and I know, into the National Council of Churches to the extent that they'll come into the covenant with the Catholic Church. And then the Protestants will also go into the Catholic Church, which shows body, soul, and spirit that was separated at Calvary, that I explained in one of my messages one night here, which shows body, soul, and spirit coming back together and showing the three baptisms coming into one baptism, that we might see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight the thing that keeps God away from this earth is that there is a division between the body, the soul, and the spirit, and until the Jew comes to the Catholic Church and the Protestant comes to the Catholic Church, it will still show the division between the body, soul, and spirit, and God must bring body, soul, and spirit together. And that's why on this day, friend, that we're coming to water baptism. We must come to the baptism in Jesus' name. We've got to come to it because the Jews got it, and the Jew must come to the Holy Ghost baptism. How many of you know that? He's got to receive the mantle of Elijah. He's got to come to the Holy Ghost baptism, just like we've got to come to Peter's Jesus' flame baptism. How many of you know that all the apostles were Jews? All of them were Jews. Paul was Jew. Everyone that was relevant at Pentecost was a Jew. It was given to the Jews. And so that baptism has been rejected down through the years. But to show you that we're getting close, the Protestants are going back to the Catholic Church. The Jews are beginning to make that covenant with them, showing these baptisms coming together, and you and I are beginning to receive that baptism of fire, the covering of the blood. We're beginning to receive it in our lives to the extent we are burning the trash out of our lives. We're letting God clean the soul and burn the ugliness and the lust and the filth out of our soul. And we're coming to baptism in Jesus' name, which shows the cleansing of the body by water. And we've also received that heavenly baptism for the cleansing of the Spirit, the washing of the water of the Word, which is body, soul, and spirit coming together. Why? Because all of us, friends, have a baptism to be baptized with. I want you to know tonight that we, as a group of people, stand tonight, if we are born to the Spirit, as heavenly sons and daughters of Christ. I want you to stand with me tonight, just for a few minutes. Not too late, just 5 or 6 after 9. We have a baptism to be baptized with. Jesus spoke of having a baptism to be baptized with. Paul spoke of the doctrines of baptism. These great baptisms must come together, friends. And you and I won't reject any of them. We won't reject the Spirit, nor we won't reject the water, nor we won't reject the blood. But for years, these baptisms have been separated. These three bodies have been kept separate so that it might show the division in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did God do this? Because that Satan got into the human being, or the human body, or the human soul back in the garden. And he has broke down every member of the body. He has divided the soul and the spirit and everything that he might reveal sin. He has taken every part of it, put one part here, and one part here, that he might reveal the man of perdition and make you and I to be able to see and understand the mysteries of God, that we might see the man of perdition being revealed. The world doesn't understand the mysteries of God because it's not given to them. When the Lord Jesus was teaching along the shores of Galilee, he spoke to the people in parables. And the Bible said, without a parable spake he not unto the people. All of these things are done in parables. This world is a parable. Your body is a parable. Everything is a parable because it's only an allegory or type and a shadow. God is a spirit, and there is a spiritual world somewhere, and he has veiled himself in human flesh. God has veiled himself within the needs of humanity. And as I said the other night, we should see him in everything. If we look long enough, the pure in heart shall see God, for they'll receive a revelation out of everything that's in this world. God shall come forth and reveal himself as we look through the eyes of our understanding. And so it is tonight, all these baptisms are coming together. Why? Right here at the last. Why are we doing it? Because it's time for the resurrection. We're coming to the resurrection. If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead or the resurrection? God is turning back to the Jews. That's why I preached the message the other night on redeeming the outer court. It shows the Jew is coming in. It shows sanctification and the washing of these bodies through the name of Jesus Christ. The outer court. It shows all of this coming in this last hour. That's why we've got to live holy. That's why Paul tells us to let's go on to the doctrines of baptism. Go on to the laying on of hands. Go on to eternal judgment and resurrection of the dead. A lot of other things that we'd like to touch tonight. But just trying to take my time tonight and teach a message as clear as I know how to teach it, that we might be able to understand just what God is doing. How many of you believe that there's going to be a baptism of fire to this world? We're going to do it. You might say, Brother Pike, how? We've got to see him. I want you all to come and stand with me just for a few minutes before I turn the service to our brother. Come and stand with me around the altar just for a few minutes. You might say, how is this going to happen? I'll tell you what I believe, just briefly tonight. This is what I believe after talking to God. I want you to listen real close to it. You may not believe this, but this is what was revealed to me. Peter said, seeing that the very elements shall be on fire. We know that they've messed with the elements. We know that. They've discovered that they can break down the elements and break down the atoms. and they discover that God has just created a world of electrical sparks, that everything in this world is nothing more than electrical sparks. God can ignite it at any time. Seeing that the elements shall be on fire. And this is what I believe is going to happen. The sun that's beaming down on us day after day, the great light, a type of God. And there the moon, as we see it, a type of the church. And the stars, we see the stars as a type of the angelic beings. That sun catches the rays, or the moon catches the rays of the sun. And just like the coals that lay in a big fireplace when you're burning long, just as those coals catch the heat, and they turn the heat into the brick wall, and the brick wall absorbs the heat, and then it comes out in a uniform manner. The moon catches the heat from the sun. It catches that great heat, and then the rays of the sun come down and through the ionosphere, and the hemisphere, and the stratosphere right on down. It's broken down until it's nothing more than light, nothing more than warmth to you and I. But they're going to mess with the moon until one day. Remember, the Bible said it'll turn to blood. Blood represents fire. It's always a type of fire. They're going to mess with the moon one day until it's not going to absorb the heat. And when it stops absorbing that heat, then the whole blast of the heavenly body is going to be turned into earth. In the heart of this earth, there's a fire. Scientists have gone down about a mile, and they found there's a fire in the heart of the earth. The Bible said, hail from beneath, and move but to meet the inside coming, in the largest depth without measure. Here, the fire coming up through the earth forms a gravitational power. That gravitational power holds you and I, and these two great heats meet, coming down. Now, you might say, what does this mean to us, Brother Bryan? Here's what it means. Within this physical earth, there is a fire. God is a consuming fire. I want you to get the picture in Revelation tonight. And just as that moon catches the heat of that sun and breaks down the rays that it might fall in rays of mercy and light to everything on this earth, you and I stand at the church tonight. Stand as the body of Christ, and just as the body of Christ hang on the cross and caught the wrath of God as it came down to turn the grace and mercy to the world, we stand as the body of Christ tonight between humanity and between God. And we catch the wrath. That's why we're always sick. The just suffering for the unjust. That's why we have more trouble than anybody else. Killed all the day long. Accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So it is, we catch the great wrath of God as it comes down. And it doesn't go for the world. They have a good time. And we catch the wrath of God. The body of Christ suffering for humanity. But one of these days, friends, just as they're reaching after the moon, and this will let you know just how close the end of time is, if you can see it. Just as they're reaching after the moon, the Catholic Church is reaching after you and I. After the little vineyard of Naples, we brought it out the other night. The Catholic Church is reaching after you and I. And it's typed out by humanity reaching after the moon. The natural, physical, and spiritual running side by side. And there as they reach after the moon, the Catholic Church is reaching after the true church. But it'll never lay hold on the true church. And they'll never lay hold on that. Amen. So they're going to come to a place to where they're going to have a control. They'll never lay hold on that. As the Tower of Babel was built, it never reached. It never reached up to the heavens. It just got so high. And God confounded it. And this great intellectual power was coming together. They're reaching after that kind of thing. But they'll never be able to do it. And here's what I'm trying to say tonight. This fire within you and I, this fire within you and I is breaking out. God is a consuming fire. Remember, I preached tonight that Jesus Christ's soul went into hell in just a fury of hell. It went into hell. God is in heaven, David said, if I go there. If I go to the uttermost parts of the earth, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. God tonight, as we preach, has set up the kingdom of God even within here, within this consuming fire. God dwells within here, and we catch the great heat from the wrath of God. But one of these days, just as that fire down here is moving, coming up to consume the moon, moving, this fire of God is moving within us, and it's coming out into our members and into our blood genes. The Word is becoming flesh, and it's moving out, it's springing forth from these physical beings, moving out. One of these days they're going to meet this fire coming out from here, the fire coming down from up there. One of these days they're going to meet, and the glory of God is going to consume this outer man. And it's going to be utterly changed into the glorified image of Almighty God. Let me say this right hurriedly. I don't want to take up a lot of time. But did you know that you can walk out and lay your hands on a black car, and if the sun's been shining very hot, that it will burn your hand. But you can lay your hand on a white car, and there will be no heat there. The difference is the white car reflects the glory back to the sun, while the dark absorbs the glory for itself. You and I in white raiment as righteousness reflects the glory back to God for all accomplishments of the earth, while those that are out yonder in darkness, they absorb the wrath of God by complimenting each other and measuring themselves among themselves and not lies, by giving PhDs and so forth, saying, look what we've done. They absorb the wrath of God. And they cannot enter into the presence of that great light. But you and I are reflecting the glory back. We don't receive the wrath, we just reflect the glory back as we move right into the presence of that great light. So then, where are we at tonight? We are in a place where this fire is almost ready to break out. When it does, it won't shield the wicked anymore. But with that one great light, it shall consume all earthly things. And the wrath of God shall pour through us as the body of Christ. March triumphantly over this world to say that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God. Because, as I said, we all have a baptism to be baptized with. Let's bow our heads tonight. Ask Brother J.T. to come. Let's lift our hands to God and thank Him for His presence.